Well, good evening, everyone, and it's great to see you this evening, and it's so great to have been served so well already by our wonderful musicians and singers. I think they deserve another round of applause for the way they've been. And I hope your preparations are going well for Christmas. If you've been given one of these flyers, perhaps the reason you're here is because you've been given one of these flyers, then you will have noticed that our theme for this Christmas is the title, Home for Christmas. So I wonder if you're traveling home for Christmas in just over a week or so's time. Many people will be going in different directions, or maybe you're going somewhere to try and find the best place to enjoy Christmas this season. Well, I had a look around this week to try and find out what the best destinations and the worst destinations to spend Christmas in are this year. And I found the best places to spend Christmas. Apparently, according to various magazines and internet polls, some of the places that are the best places to go and spend Christmas this year are Tuscany in Italy. Apparently, it is a wonderful place. Lapland is always a popular destination to go and see reindeer and enjoy snow. And the Caribbean island of St. Barts, apparently, is one of the best places to go and spend Christmas. I have a suspicion that this might have been people of a particular budget wanting to go and spend Christmas somewhere. But those are some of the best places to spend Christmas. What about the worst place to spend Christmas? Well, there are lots of different opinions on that. So one of them that I found was the Yorkshire village of Dunsdale. Because apparently back in 2011, they officially became the home of the worst Christmas tree in Britain. It was so dreadful, it became world famous for being the worst Christmas tree ever. And interesting enough, as I searched around for the best places to spend Christmas and the worst places to spend Christmas, London is listed on both of them. So you can take of that what you will. Now, I guess most of us are probably not traveling to exotic islands or to amazing locations for Christmas. If we are traveling for Christmas, we're probably jumping into a car or getting onto a train and visiting family or friends for Christmas. But if you're preparing to travel over the next week or so, you'll probably know that that isn't always the easiest experience in itself, is it? Between delays because of snow and ice or the wrong kind of rain on the line or leaves on the line or the strikes over Christmas time on the trains or traffic jams and long tailbacks. It can be an exhausting thing traveling over Christmas. When I said that our theme is Home for Christmas, you had that song from Chris Rea in your mind, Driving Home for Christmas, which sounds very pleasant until you've heard it for the 357th time on the radio as you're trying to drive home for Christmas. And as you think about the prospect of traveling over Christmas, maybe you think it would be far better just to stay at home. Well, thankfully, staying at home was not the case for the first Christmas. And I'm not just talking about the classic nativity scene. Maybe you've seen it acted out a couple of times already this Christmas, of Mary and Joseph traveling down from Nazareth to Bethlehem on the donkey to be able to spend the night and for Mary to give birth. That, of course, is one aspect of traveling for Christmas. But the traveling for Christmas goes deeper than that. In fact, the wonder of Christmas is here that God does not stay at home for Christmas. God does not stay at home for Christmas. You see, at the start of his record of Jesus' life and death and resurrection, John gives us a big picture of all of time and space. We heard that read just a moment ago, and he starts his gospel, his record of Jesus' life with these words, "In the beginning was the Word." And that word is John's way of talking about Jesus. He's saying Jesus existed before time began. God himself, there at the start of creation, Jesus was involved with creation itself. He made things come into being. Nothing came into being without him. He is the source of all light and all life. And that makes the Christmas story all that amazing. Because God in Jesus does not stay at home for Christmas. Here's how John describes Christmas in that opening chapter. He says, the Word, that is Jesus, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. See, that's the amazing fact of Christmas. God makes his dwelling among us. Jesus did not stay in the comfort and safety of heaven. He did not want to be far and distant from his creation. He came down, traveled from heaven to earth. As the carol Once in Royal David City puts it, he came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. See, as we think about the idea of traveling for Christmas, we might like to stay home for Christmas, safe and comfortable and away from all the hassle and mayhem. But God did not think that way. He does not think that way. He did not stay home for Christmas. But God comes to earth at Christmas in the person of Jesus. And it becomes even more amazing than that, because not only does God not stay at home for Christmas, God comes to our home for Christmas. Norman Rockwell was an American painter, and his work has become synonymous with a certain view of American life. One of his famous pictures was this one. It's entitled Home for Christmas, and it was painted in 1967, and it shows the main street in Stockbridge in New England. We can zoom in a little bit to help you see some of it a little bit better. And it was commissioned for a magazine. And the magazine wrote about the picture by saying this: wherever you happen to hail from, city, suburb, farm, or ranch, we hope you will have for a moment the feeling of coming home for Christmas. So I wonder, does that picture give you that feeling, that warm feeling of coming home for Christmas? It's a lovely picture. It's very pleasant in lots of ways. But I don't know about you, but as I look at a picture like that, it all seems, frankly, just a little bit too neat. I don't know what your experience of Christmas at home is, but Christmas is far from neat a lot of the time. It's often messy. My Christmas is often messy. I don't have presents that are neatly wrapped and looking perfect. Well, not the ones that I wrap anyway. There's usually quite a lot of sticky tape here, there, and everywhere. And when you're spending time at Christmas with family, that is often very messy, isn't it? There's arguments and difficulties and disagreements and misunderstandings, frankly, at the best of times. Christmas is a time that is often sad or lonely or disappointing or painful. Christmas isn't neat. It's messy. But thankfully, God did not come into a Norman Rockwell painting at Christmas. He didn't come to a world that was perfect. Maybe you have one of those Christmas cards at home which has a painting of the nativity scene. And it just looks like everything's in its right place. The stable looks like a 4-star Hilton hotel. The animals, the livestock, the donkey and the sheep and the oxen are all behaving themselves. And the hay does not look one piece out of place. Well, that's a lovely picture for a Christmas card, but it's not what the first Christmas would have been like. Jesus was born amongst animals and they smell bad. It would have been mucky and messy. The hay would have scratched Jesus' infant skin. And it would have been painful and frankly scary for Mary to give birth that night. It would have been messy in the extreme. And that tells us something so valuable, that God came into an imperfect world, into a messy world, a world that is full of pain and difficulty. He entered into a world that we live in, a world that needs saving. So look again at those words that John writes. The Word, Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. God became flesh. He became skin and bones. And he came into our messy and broken world, took on our frail and foolish flesh, and became one of us. God left his home and came into our home with all of its problems and issues at Christmas. As you think about the subject of home and think about the subject of family, that is often a subject that is talked a lot about at Christmas. And it's a lot on our TV screens. It's used a lot to sell us things. Most of the Christmas adverts are to do with family and home, whether it's some imperfect picture, or rather perfect-looking picture, of a family with a groaning table full of food, which is frankly far from what our experiences often are at Christmas, through to other ways in which advertisers use home to try and sell us things. One example is the BBC advert for Christmas this year. Maybe you've seen it, perhaps you haven't. Let's just take a couple of moments to watch it now and see what it has to say.
When did you check in the second section? In a minute, love. Then what's in my keys?
You're in the drawer, love.
Come on. In a minute. Lula, please. Try that one. All right, well, don't worry. I'm going to be there shortly. Yeah. Oh, hang on, Jade. I don't know, love, if I've got time. Sorry, Jade. Go on.
Once I was a flight risk, slipping through the darkness, but soon I think I will be safe. Out there in the distance, you look like a North Star. Oh, somehow lead me to the next place.
Sorry, John.
Hold me close.
Abby.
When we let go of the shadows, that's when I'm lost in you. Shadows, let me get lost in you. Hold me close when we let go of the shadow. That's when I'm lost in you.
It's a fascinating advert, isn't it? It's very well made. Very well put together, lots of money spent on the special effects and lots of heartstrings plucked. And you can argue whether you like it or not, whether you think it's well put together or not, whether you think its message about family is the right one. But it's fascinating of what it's trying to do. Its message is kind of clear. It is to spend time with the ones you love at Christmas. Quite what that's got to do about watching BBC television around on the sofa, I'm not quite sure. But that's sort of the message it's trying to get across, isn't it? But what struck me about that video is that we often think about God rather like the mother in that video. We often think about God as distant and detached. If he's there at all, he doesn't really want anything to do with me, my puny little life and my puny little problems. God is over there, far too busy to worry about me or to spend time with me. That is how many of us view God. Perhaps it's how you view God. It's nice to come together and sing carols and to feel Christmassy, but what has God got to do with my life, and what would he want to do with being involved in my mess? But you see, if that's the way that we think about God, it couldn't be further from the picture of God we get at Christmas. Because Christmas tells us that God is far from distant, but he comes to meet us in Jesus. God comes home to us. And God invites us to come home for Christmas. John describes the invitation in these words. He says, "Yet to all who received him," that's Jesus, "to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." See, amazing though it is that God doesn't stay at home at Christmas, but comes to our home at Christmas. It isn't just that God comes to visit us. He doesn't just enter our mess to understand and to sympathize with us. He comes to change and transform us. He comes to bring us back to him. He comes to make us his sons and daughters. He comes to make us children of God. He comes to bring us home this Christmas. We get probably lots of invitations around Christmas. Invitations to parties, invitations to drinks after work, invitations to carols by candlelight. Here is the greatest, the most important invitation you could ever receive this Christmas. Come home to God this Christmas. To know God's love, that he would leave his home in heaven and be born as a baby. To know God's love that enters our mess and even goes to a cross willingly to die for you and for me. God's love that invites us into his family to find a home with him. God's love that asks us, will you come home this Christmas? We'd love you to think a little bit more about this if you want to. We're going to put on some a course next year, in the new year. And if you'd like to think a bit more and like to know what we're going to be doing, then there's these very simple little forms at the back there with a box to put them in, just for your contact details, so we can get in touch and say, hey, this is what we're doing. Would you like to come along? Would you like to find out more about God's invitation to you? But I'm going to hand back now to our musicians to lead us as we come towards the end of our time.